Okay, thank you. Yeah, thank you for coming to this workshop. I'll be talking about economics of alternative irrigation systems for potato production in Florida specifically. However, this is the first stage in potentially larger project, and I wanted to spend some time talking about a variety of economic questions that can be addressed by people from my profession. So I'm a little bit in the promotional mode, trying to maybe suggest for you to go back to your state and connect with economists and involve us in your projects. We can do so much more than just cost analysis. So I wanted to acknowledge contribution of all the team members. Many of them are present in this room. I appreciate your help. And since many of you are not from Florida, I wanted to also mention that briefly talk about situation in other states in eastern U.S. Farmers have been heavily investing in irrigation systems in all eastern states. You can see on this map changes in the last 15 to 20 years in irrigated acreage. You can see that they're expanding. Say Tennessee, South Carolina, and Indiana show up to 500% expansion in irrigation acreage. Of course, part of the reason is that the baseline, the number of irrigated acreage in 1997 was very small, but still you can see the pattern, and this is somewhat surprising because in eastern U.S. we get a lot of rainfall. This is another report put together by USDA about 2 years ago that compares irrigation investments in 2003 and 2008, so 5-year time period. What they found is that the number of farms reporting irrigation investments increased by 22%, per farm investments increased by 73%, and for water conservation investment increased 90% within the 5-year time span. And a lot of these investments are in eastern U.S., about $30,000 per farm, pretty significant, most of it for new irrigation systems, some amount is for water conservation, and much of this investment is funded by farmers themselves. So what's going on? What are the explanations? And there are two general ones. On average, value of production on irrigated acreage is much higher than on non-irrigated acreage. And then also irrigation is a way to manage risks. And some of these risks were mentioned by Damien and Clyde. So irrigation is a tool to manage against more extended drought, against more severe droughts that are predicted in many of the states as the climate changes. This is 10,000 feet view. If you focus on individual farms specifically, again, there are a lot of interesting questions that can be addressed. Of course, costs and benefits of alternative irrigation systems. And benefits are related to changes in both yield level, quality as well, that can be related to increased price. It's important to analyze changes in other costs, and unfortunately this information is often not available. So when you go back and implement your project, make sure to involve economists on the very first stage of your project, because this data are really important. Let's work together on collecting them. Well, it's very often been an extension specialist. I go to farmers and focus on average changes in yields and profits, maybe in costs, but farmers are often interested in frequencies. They're looking at, say, 10-year time period, and they're thinking, for how many years I can break even? For how many years will I lose my money? And for how many years will I get this maximum yield and maximum revenue I'm hoping for? And one question that I would like to address as a part of this project in future is to compare this distribution of profits for irrigation technology A versus irrigation technology B. So look not on average, but distribution over time between the fields. Many of us are familiar with investing in stocks or selecting some pension funds or saving money for our retirement. And many tools that we have online differentiate portfolios based on our perception of risk, based on our characteristics as a consumer, as a buyer. So if we are conservative, we select one portfolio of stocks. If we are aggressive, we select maybe high risk, high return. So farmers are making exactly the same decisions when they can compare different irrigation systems. So why don't we go back to the farmers and say for, say, seepage irrigation, if you are conservative, maybe you are doing fine because you will get the same average yield. But if you are aggressive, if you are thinking for high return, maybe you should invest in maybe drip irrigation or another type of system. Another strategy or variety of strategies to encourage technology adoption are used by state agencies, but some of them can be adopted through better marketing. Okay, cost share we mentioned before. There are actually significant barriers for investing in more efficient irrigation systems within existing policy and regulation framework. For example, in Florida, farmers are applying for consumptive use permits for water use. If they start conserving water, there is a risk that they will lose some of this water allocation. So there is almost a disincentive to conserve in Florida. And then, actually, a couple of days ago, I attended a very interesting presentation from University of Maryland that looks at consumer perception of the same product but produced with different irrigation systems. So they looked at azalea and asked customers about their willingness to pay more for azaleas produced with more efficient irrigation system. And that's an example of label they used. And they found that farmers are willing to pay $1 to $1.50 more per plant. So they do pay attention to this labels, this information, and that might be a way to compensate farmers for higher investments. So another exciting research direction. Sorry, I was playing with animation, so information appears and disappears. But then, finally, there might be some unintended consequences of adopting more efficient irrigation systems. Say, farmers are using water more efficiently, they might consider expanding acreage. So on total, the water total water use will not reduce, and that's something we need to account for. Then also reduction in cost, expansion of acreage and supply might actually result in reduction in per unit price. So that's another point that should be considered. So among all these different factors, what are the most important right now for the farmers? Again, this is a survey in 31 eastern states conducted by USDA. Many farmers who invested in irrigation systems, more efficient irrigation systems, observed improved yield and quality, reduced energy costs, and about one-third of them reported reduction in labor costs. Those who did not invest in irrigation systems, many say it's not a priority. Many are concerned about risks of reducing risk of poor water quality. So maybe these people who are not investing are this conservative type of farmers, while those who are investing are more aggressive. So again, risk perceptions are really important. And then many report that they just cannot finance improvement. So investment costs can be prohibitive. So what's going on in Florida and potato production? Again, I'm focusing here just on costs. So the first stage in the analysis. And Lincoln already presented the statistics on the seepage irrigation in Florida, still significant. Most of the crops, horticultural crops, are irrigated on 100% of acreage. Florida potato production, not many people know that we are actually ranked seventh in the United States by the value of potato produced, particularly because we produce on the market window where the prices for potato are very high. So volume is small, but prices are high. Seepage irrigation in this tri-county agricultural area, you know, percent of area is very significant, and in potato it's almost 100%. This is some information that Dr. Zattarelli already presented. Traditionally, they use seepage, which results in non-uniform water table. There are other alternatives, and among the variety of irrigation systems that Dr. Zattarelli was talking about, I'll briefly talk about economics of tile drain system and subsurface drip for water table control. What we do, we look at the net revenue, so basically profits, but not for 1 year, but for 10-year time period. So profits aggregated for 10 years and discounted to the present value. To estimate annual net returns, we need to know yield, we need to know prices, and we need to know costs. Yield and prices are variable. Yield is variable because of weather conditions, disease pressure, etc. Prices are variable because of the markets. So what we do, and this is a somewhat simplified approach, we looked at the historic variability in yield and just run a simple regression. Yield is a function of year plus some stochastic component that aggregates weather, disease, everything else. We did the same for historic prices, and we allowed for correlation between yield and prices. So overall, we have simulation for future yields and future prices based on this equation. So for seepage irrigation system, we used current budgets. For tile drain system, we used estimates for investment costs from NRCS. We accounted for NRCS cost share, accounted for depreciation for this expensive system. We assumed 50% decrease in pumping costs based on data that Dr. Zattarelli collected from a farm in Hastings, potato producing area in Florida. Because the system allowed eliminating furrows that are used for draining the fields, we accounted for expansion in the plantable area by about 10%. So for subsurface drip water table management, the picture is somewhat not as clear maybe because there have been two Florida-based studies and they report somewhat contradictory results. Both of them are outdated, so I'm looking forward to getting accurate data from Dr. Zattarelli soon. So one study reports higher energy, another study reports savings in electricity costs. This study reports reduction in increase in labor costs somewhere. And none of the study mention increase in yields. So again, when you go back to your project, please, for your economists on the team, please document the yield impacts as well as impact on distribution of yields. So what we ended up doing, we developed two scenarios. And this one, as you would notice immediately, is not very beneficial because there are high costs of the system even after NRCS pays part of it through cost share. There is increasing in pumping costs, increasing in labor costs, and additional depreciation. So more costly scenario. Another scenario, well, we assumed increase in yield and reduction in pumping cost. These are educated guesses right now. So we are trying to see what actually drives profitability of a particular system. This is the result, and this is distribution of these profits discounted over 10-year time period. Black line shows the baseline seepage irrigation. And, of course, the subsurface drip water table management, the costly scenario is just a parallel shift of this distribution. Tile drain and this modified subsurface drip water table management that allows for higher yield shifts the distribution, so farmers can expect getting higher revenues, but it also widens it, so it's a little bit more risky. But the risk is good because this is the risk of getting higher yield. Not only yield, higher revenues, because we account for market variability as well. Same information in table format, so mean estimated net present value highest for tile drain and for modified subsurface drip. But notice that maximum potential simulated NPV, net present value, is pretty high for seepage. So for farmers who are really focusing on this optimistic scenario, they might still keep seepage, disregard that on average they're actually losing more often than people who have installed alternative irrigation system. And another way to present the same information, that's the probability of having high, not maximum, but really high end profits versus probability returns versus probability of having low-end returns. And this is a baseline seepage system. We can see that for tile drain, probability of getting high returns is much higher. Same for modified subsurface drip for water table management, while the primary scenario for subsurface drip for water table management actually result in high chance of losing money, having really low net present value. So in summary, we have identified most profitable systems. What drives this outcome is actually increase in yield, very important piece of information. And next steps are to look at the spatial variability from field to field, of course get better data, look at temporal variability from year to year, examine producers' risk perception, so preference for irrigation system for conservative farmer versus aggressive investor, and then also look at the impact of irrigation on salinity issues. And I believe Dr. Ullmann will talk more about this. But the more you pump water from underground, the higher the chances of salt will get into your water and impact future yield. So this should be accounted for as well. So thank you.